Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send you their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
That's great. Thank you, Scarlett. That was great, wasn't it?
Well done.
Usually people are screaming when they're brought into my services, not when they get to leave. So it's obviously just the wrong way around today. Don't worry about it. I'm going to show you a picture next. This might be familiar to some of you, and to others it won't. This is an icon. It's a Russian icon, and it is painted or created by the artist Rublev. Okay, and it's a famous. It's fairly famous within the church and fairly well known, and it's his depiction of the Trinity. And so we thought of God as three in one with our fidget spinner earlier. And this is our second image of the Trinity. We've just heard of the kind of Trinitarian blessing that we often use in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And now we're thinking about the interrelation between those three personalities of the Godhead. And there's a few things to notice. I showed this at our 8:30 congregation this morning, and it's fascinating. Whenever you put something visual up, or a piece of art like poetry, it's wonderful, isn't it? Because people interpret and receive and notice things that you had never intended to notice. And a couple of people said to me, oh, what you said was rubbish, I noticed this, and things to that effect. And but just a couple of things to point out from this image, which I think give us a helpful lens into who God is as Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, completely one, completely three. And the first thing is, I like using the pointer, all right? So we've got the three characters of the Trinity. To be honest, I've forgotten. I think this is Father, and I've forgotten which one's Son and Spirit, so I won't try and blag it. But the point is, there's look how they're sat. They're sat around a table, and amongst them is a cup of wine. There's a sense inherent in the painting of fellowship and a reminder that right at the core of who God is, right at the center of God's being, is community, is relationship, is friendship. So no wonder human beings are such relational beings. We like to be with others, even those of us that perhaps are extreme introverts. There's something about us that's wired in for relationship, whether it's with other people or it's with God. And no wonder then, because God, in the very essence of his being, is community, Father, Son, and Spirit, a sense of relationship and a sense of fellowship. And then the second thing I want to show you from this picture, which is not easy to see from this, because of how it appears on the screen, is actually the faces and the direction of the gaze. So you've got Father looking here, and then the eyes again are not looking back, but looking on to this one, which I think is Spirit. So Father, Son, and Spirit, who again is looking up and on to the Father. So there's this continual gaze as they look round and look at each other. And we see throughout the New Testament, particularly in the Gospel of John particularly, this continual motion of God the Father seeking to pour honour and glory on the Son. Jesus says that God has glorified the Son. And then we see the work of the Spirit seeking to illuminate who Jesus is and to magnify who Jesus is. It's as though the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in this continual competition to kind of outdo each other with honour, to put each other before themselves, to bring honour and glory to one another. And as this gaze is kind of reflected, that picture reflects that, as they kind of look on and up to one another. And then I wonder then for ourselves today, as we think about who God is and who we want to be, and how we want to express our discipleship and our following of Jesus. I wonder whether there's a lesson then inherent in the very core identity of God that seeks to put others before them, himself, God's self. It seeks to honour the other. It seeks to always love and submit in the most holistic, healthy context to the different parts of God's one being. I wonder then, when we conduct ourselves, whether that's a lesson for us in seeking other people's welfare and benefit before our own. How do our choices reflect the nature of God? How does our language, how does our gossip or not, how does our thinking, how do our actions, how does our praying seek to honour the other, seek to honour those that even perhaps we find difficult, seeking to put other people ahead of ourselves and to try and allow them to be in a place of greater honour than we are. So God is three in one, our fidget spinner. God is community, Father, Son and Spirit, held together in mutual service, mutual love. And we'll think about our third image in a moment. So we've thought of God as both three and one through our fidget spinner. We've thought of God as God in community through Rublev's famous picture. And then the last image of God as both three and one, one and three, is me, actually. And I just didn't quite have the hubris to stick a picture of myself smiling at you. You get enough of those on the emails. This is an illustration I've nicked from somebody else, by the way. So if it's helpful, it isn't of my creation. And I was just pondering on what my colleague had shared with me, and it was this. That in my life, I often take on different expressions of who I am, yet I am the same person. So to Joseph and to Naomi, who Joseph you saw earlier, and if you don't know, Naomi's our daughter. She's three, approaching 13. And to them, I am daddy. Occasionally dad now, but increasingly I am daddy. I'm still thoroughly myself, but I take on an identity in our relationship where I am the father, they are the child. And then this afternoon, I will be attempting to Skype my parents, which will be an experience in itself. If they could turn on the new laptop they bought, that would be a miracle, I think. And they will refer to me always as Gareth. Very occasionally as son, but on the whole, entirely as Gareth. And there I am again. Maybe Laura and maybe the children will be right next to me, so I'm still father. But at the same time, I play the role, so to speak, or am fully son. Yet I'm still completely me. And then there are some people who today might say, Pastor Gareth, or Reverend, or every now and again somebody might call me Father. It's probably the most uncomfortable of those titles. And again, so with some of you, I have a very, very different relationship. I won't suggest what you call me when I'm not listening, but the relationship is very different. You know, I work amongst you, I serve amongst you, I seek to care for you, I love you. I'm still Gareth. You know, I might have a piece of plastic on my neck, but I'm still Gareth. But it's another expression of who I am. Yet I'm no less me. And of course, I can be all those three things at once. So stood here in front of you today, I am still daddy to Joseph and Naomi over there. I'm still the son to my parents who are in Bath. I'm still, you know, pastor to some of you. And all the time, I maintain those different identities. And probably we could think of more, but it would destroy the point. but I'm still one and the same me. Now, there'll be shortcomings in that illustration too, but when somebody else shared it with me, for me it was perhaps the most helpful picture of the Trinity that I've heard so far, that just puts into understandable words something which really is understandable and unimaginable. And as we gather for worship today, one of the reasons we sing songs of worship and adoration is whatever the images we put in front of people, whatever the illustrations we use, as I said at the very beginning, God is this wonderful paradox of knowable through Christ, but ultimately is completely unknowable. He is beyond our imagination and beyond our ability to fully comprehend the totality of who he is. And actually, that's what makes God worthy of our worship and praise. It's actually that sense of mystery, the sense that he is one before whom we come in awe, the one who can never fully be known. It's that wonderful sense that, amongst other things, makes him worthy of our praise and adoration, makes him the only God to whom we bring a tribute of worship and praise. So God is three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, joined together, does great things, like the fidget spinner. He is Father, Son, Spirit in community, in relationship, held together by the central part of who God is, which is love. The Bible says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And there's that mutual service and honour, seeking to submit to each other and exalt the other. And then there's this sense that he is forever one and forever three, expressing himself in different aspects of his personality, Father, Son, and Spirit, but always that one being of God. I hope one of those pictures perhaps has helped you in understanding and thinking a bit more about who God is and how he may relate to us. We, as we head towards the close of our time together, are now going to move into a time of prayer. You should have, again, at the end of your rows, a nicely cut out green shamrock. No expense spared here. So not only have I given you a pretzel, offered you a box of Maltesers from the welcome desk, because Leanne has Irish heritage, we've got a shamrock, all right? This is my attempt to reach out. I've laboured the point enough, but you see, what do you see here? Three and one, one and three. And often people use this as a illustration of Trinitarian thought. And you should also, at the end of your rows, have some pencils. What I'm asking you to do is to simply write your prayers on the shamrock here. You may want to scribble them or draw them if writing isn't your bestest thing yet. You may just want to write a name, or you may want to just write something that illustrates a situation. We might come with whole load of feelings about the recent election, the state of the UK. We might want to pray for Tim and Leanne and baby Micah. There might be plenty of other things going on. You might want to pray for yourself. You don't need to give copious details. God knows, all right? But maybe just write something on this shamrock. And then I'm inviting you, as some quiet music is playing, to just come and just put your shamrock very carefully just here on the table, all right? There is a candle. I shall steward it. But just come and leave your shamrock here on the table, all right? It's a sign of offering that prayer to God. And then we'll gather it all up into one final prayer at the end.